Hello and welcome to another mini episode of The Right Question, a radio program and podcast featuring authors from the American West and beyond. The Right Question is supported in part by Humanities Montana and members of Montana Public Radio, and by the Greater Montana Foundation, encouraging communication on issues, trends, and values of importance to Montanans. I'm Lauren Korn, speaking today with Métis author Tony Jensen. Tony will be giving a reading in collaboration with the University of Montana's Creative Writing Program this evening at the Missoula Art Museum. For more information about that event, go to missoulaartmuseum.org. Tony Jensen's Carrie, a memoir of survival on stolen land, is a memoir in essays about gun violence, land, and Indigenous women's lives. An NEA Creative Writing Fellowship recipient in 2020, Tony's essays have appeared in Orion, Catapult, and Ecotone. She is also the author of the short story collection From the Hilltop. She is currently the James and Lois Welch Distinguished Visiting Native American Writer at the University of Montana. Tony, thank you so much for being here. Welcome to The Right Question.
Thank you for having me.
Your book's title, Carrie, means a number of things in the book. You're speaking to open and concealed carry laws in regards to firearms. You write at length about gun violence in this book, and you also speak to the ways that violence is carried in the body and trauma is carried in the body. In the last essay in Carrie, you write, "Ghosts, after all, are every day. And already at 17, I know violence to be every day, to be regular." Will you speak to the ways that your book addresses this idea of the everyday of normalized violence?
In that passage in particular, I'm speaking of all sorts of violences, but mostly domestic violence. I grew up in a household with domestic violence. My dad also was a gun owner. In later years, we would joke that he had an arsenal, so he collected guns later too. He wasn't ever violent against any of us with the guns, but the guns were there. He was dominantly the only one who knew how to shoot them, and he was a violent man. So there was this ever-present sort of threat then in the household, tiptoeing around, which so many people know about, right? And we don't speak of it, because if nothing horrific happens, if no one goes to jail, it can still stay a semi-private matter, right? And so having it stay a private or semi-private matter is what keeps most of America running. The people who would be in jail or have had interactions with law enforcement would, probably more than quadruple, right? If we were to enforce the laws within the homes that we enforce on the streets. And I think that we're not doing anyone a service by not speaking about that. And it seemed to me that I couldn't really write a book about things that happen in relation to guns and gun violence without talking about the domestic piece. Because statistically speaking, people who are domestic abusers first go out to carry out gun violence outside the home, especially mass violence. The statistic, the corollary statistic there is undeniable.
I'm glad you brought up statistics, because in the book, you talk about the shocking statistics of gun violence, who is likely to carry out gun violence, who is likely to buy guns. Will you talk a little bit about that?
Gun ownership was the one that really surprised me, that I think the face of gun ownership in the news in particular, you have hunters, right, who are the good, responsible gun owners, according to the media narrative, and then you have people committing violent crime. If someone commits a violent crime and they're not white, it will most certainly make the news, most certainly with their face attached, right? That makes the face of gun violence either a predominantly white demographic that are supposed to be the good gun owners and a predominantly not white demographic that are supposed to be the bad gun owners. And that's, whether overt or covert, the message we get in the media. So dominant gun ownership then, rural hunters, right? And then more urban people who get arrested for crimes and then their faces are splashed all over the media. That just isn't so. Instead, suburban, rural, urban, the dominant gun ownership statistic is someone who's white and upper middle class. And those are the people, statistically speaking, who own the most guns. And I found that to be fascinating, because that's not a demographic that we read about. Almost never really do we read about those folks as the people who carry guns or who own guns. So I found that to be the most startling or surprising.
Tell me about how you considered safety, both as a topic of this book, but also as someone entering into, even just intellectually, into the world of firearms, which is not only a physically unsafe space sometimes, but it's also a pretty politically volatile space.
It is politically volatile. And then when the book came out, COVID was happening, right? You know, COVID is still happening, obviously, but we were all locked down. So most of my events were virtual. So I can't really say what it would have been like if some of those things had been in person versus virtual. Even in virtual spaces, people wanted to get into it. And early on, I started saying, this isn't a book against guns. This is a book against gun violence. And that neutralizes things in a room because there aren't people who attend literary events who are willing to say, oh, well, I'm for gun violence. And there aren't very many probably who really are, right?
Right.
They just haven't thought of it in that particular way. Also, this idea that we're safe anywhere is really nebulous. So as a person who knows that deeply, it didn't seem like that much of a risk.
That was Métis author Toni Jensen. Carrie, a memoir of survival on stolen land, is out now from Ballantine Books, an imprint of Penguin Random House. Toni will be giving a reading in collaboration with the University of Montana's Creative Writing Program this evening at the Missoula Art Museum. For more information about this event, go to missoulaartmuseum.org. You can also find out more about Toni at mtpr.org, where you can also subscribe to our podcast and follow us on Facebook and Instagram. You've been listening to a mini episode of The Right Question. This episode was produced by me. I'm your host, Lauren Korn. Chris Moyles engineered this episode. The artwork for The Right Question was designed by Molly Russell, and our music was written and recorded by John Floridis. Funding for The Right Question is provided by the Greater Montana Foundation, encouraging communication on issues, trends, and values of importance to Montanans. Many thanks to Humanities Montana for supporting this program since 2008. And thank you for listening. The Right Question is a production of Montana Public Radio.